The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive.
Yeah, this happening on Monday near Yuma. Close to 400 people, nearly half of them children, burrowing under the border wall, some clamoring over it, and then presenting themselves to Border Patrol seeking asylum. It's believed to be one of the largest groups of asylum seekers ever to cross the border. Now, we know that happened here in Arizona on Monday. And just a few days later in New Mexico, some 250 people did the same thing there. This story developing this morning as we've had KTAR's Jim Cross reporting on it. You've heard Bob McClay reporting on it as well. It's a national story that is taking place in our own backyard. And ABC News is reporting that, yes, those smugglers have dug underneath that barrier wall.
Smugglers have burrowed beneath that wall. They've climbed over it. They've cut through it, even pulled it down in parts. And what Border Patrol says it needs most is a holistic barrier system that includes sensors on the ground and better camera systems to detect asylum seekers.
Yes, I've got Steve Irvin from ABC 15 in here with me as well. And we know that the government shutdown is now in day 28. It is over a border wall. And it's that debate over border wall, border security. If we have a wall, do they dig under it? Do they go over it? The story kind of shedding some new light on that situation.
It's going to fuel that debate. And it doesn't make you very optimistic that the shutdown is going to end anytime soon. When you have groups of folks like this showing up at the border, and these are people who, many of them unaccompanied children, so it's a humanitarian crisis, but at the same time, they don't have the detention centers for them, and so the accusations fly that people are being caught and then released into the community, even with ankle monitors and things like that. It's going to fuel the immigration debate, and you have to wonder whether it's really going to prolong the shutdown. It also spurs debate over the wall, though, when people are able to still dig under it, go over it, find ways to cut through it. That's always been the counter-argument to a wall, that no matter what wall you build, somebody's going to find some way around
it. The 20-foot wall, I'll show you a 21-foot ladder.
A 21-foot ladder. I think that was Jenna Napolitano's famous quote. And you can argue it at some point, you know, we're going to have this massive impenetrable wall that nobody can get through. But the drug cartels, smugglers are incredibly creative in finding ways to get around it. And when you hear from Border Patrol and they say, we need a holistic wall, we need more than just a big pile of concrete. We need sensors. We need the technology. We need manpower, people to watch over all of this stuff. It's just going to fuel this debate even more.
You say fuel the debate, but I think that it might even help further it along in the sense that there's a stalemate right now in D.C. over the government shutting down the border wall, the president wanting his, you know, $5.7 billion to build a wall. But I think this is also could potentially give cover to just the increasing conversation of border security. I think you can cast a much wider net and get more people engaged in border security than just over a wall. The wall, to some, was the political promise that the president made on a campaign trail. You can get Republicans and Democrats, I believe, discussing border security, having this move along, and in a video and having this report of people digging underneath the wall, cutting through the barrier, goes to show that that's not true border security.
Yeah, comprehensive border security is something that we really haven't talked about because there's so much of the focus has been on the wall, and the wall is sort of this end-all solution for border security. But when you talk to the Border Patrol, when you talk to the people that really make this their living and have to guard our borders, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yes.
Initially, President Trump campaigned on a 30-foot border wall. Then he goes to the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol says, well, wait a minute. You know, one of the things we like about the current system and the current fencing that we have, and you see this in places like Nogales, is that we can see through it. We can see who's on the other side. And mm-hmm. we need to have the ability to do that, either through technology, through cameras, or through some sort of wall that allows us to see who's on the other side. Because, obviously, those threats can come from the other side. We need to know where people are trying to breach the wall in some way so that we can react to it and send manpower in that direction. I think when you talk about border security, you've got to talk about a lot of different things. You've also got to talk about commerce. You've got to talk about what's happening at our ports of entry, the drugs that are coming through our ports of entry. There's a whole encyclopedia of subjects in this conversation that I think really get lost in all of this because everybody's focused on this one thing, and that's the wall.
Well, you talk about the wall. Yes, focusing on that. Can we expand that to discuss border security? I think that that's where the conversation should go. But if you're going to be talking about illegal immigration in general, there's a lot more to it than just the border. When you find out that most undocumented immigrants in this country don't cross the border illegally, what they do is they overstay their visas. So the biggest problem wouldn't be what's happening down in Yuma along our southern border, but what's happening at Sky Harbor. The number of immigrants living in the U.S. illegally has shrunk, you know, over the last, let's say, 7 years or so. We've seen that data. And so it goes right in the face of what the president has been proposing with the wall. But the physical barrier that he's advocating for would do nothing to block the some 320,000 immigrants who overstayed their visa in 2016.
Sure, they come here on a student visa, they come here on a travel visa, a work visa, or something like that. And one of the issues that we talk about when we talk about immigration reform, and this has been an issue for years in the federal government, is these folks who come here and they overstay their visa, and we have no way of tracking them down. If we know that they have overstayed the visa, they're still in the country illegally, the State Department doesn't have a real good database or a real good mechanism for finding out where they are and enforcing that visa and making sure that they don't stay in the country too long. And so the figures we've heard in the past are about half of the people that are in this country, and you can use whatever figure you want, 12 million, 14 million.
Right.
Half of those folks are people that have done exactly that. They didn't cross any border illegally. They came into the country legally. But when that visa expired, then they just didn't go anywhere. And it's still a big problem. We still don't know where some of these folks are. And in let's face it, the 9/11 hijackers originally came here on visas. They didn't come here across the border. They came here on visas. And there's been a lot of talk about how do we, I guess, vet that system a little bit better and track the people who come into this country.
Yes, and that's where it comes down to the comprehensive immigration reform. Is there portions of the border that are porous and a barrier would make sense? Yeah, I think that there are. Do I think that we need to potentially change the asylum process? Yeah, I think we might. But it is the way it is right now, and that's the way the law is. So we're kind of dealing with the situation as we have created it. But we also need to be looking at those visas and getting extra resources to be routed to the State Department, which issues those visas. Because it isn't just it's kind of like whack-a-mole. Like, you know, you start focusing over here and it pops up over there. And it's not a one-size-fits-all solution to this problem, of which I think the president has oversimplified it. Build the wall and we'll fix it. If that were the case, I would be so for it. If that were the case. But I haven't seen the research, the data to support it. In fact, I haven't even seen the president saying where we are the most porous and where we need to focus. That's what I was hoping to hear him say when he addressed the country last week. But the story isn't going away. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about there was the largest group of people who had crossed the border, some 400-ish, it's just shy of 400, in Yuma on Monday. And they burrowed under the border, some climbed over it, and they presented themselves for asylum. Again, day 28 of the government shutdown. They're at a stalemate right now, and there's kind of a tit-for-tat that's going on in D.C. with, you know, Nancy Pelosi wanting the president to hold off on his State of the Union, and then him saying, well, then you can't go to Afghanistan. That's what we've come to. But the reality is, here in Arizona, we are ground zero for some of these issues. It's an important issue for us, and it doesn't appear as though there's really going to be any true end in sight in the near future. Hey, you know what? The Lead is brought to you by Birch Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive, online at birchford.com. Well, you know what? We just finished I feel like wrapping up the last political season, you know, with midterm elections.
It's time to take a breather, isn't it, Pam?
Please. Are you tired of it? I'm tired of it.
How about we allow the people that we elected to office to do their job?
You know what? I like that idea.
I like that idea.
Oh, but you know what?
That's kind of the reason for sending them there.
Yeah, but you know what? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And we're going to tell you why.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It's Pamela Hughes along with Steve Irvin from ABC 15. We are enjoying ourselves out here at Barrett Jackson Westworld. We're going to be here for the entire show. You're making a trip out here. Stop by. Say hi. Steve has already made his way inside of the tent.
Yeah, they won't
here.
Let me test drive anything, though. It's terrible.
They know you, right?
Yeah.
And you found the one you want, huh?
I found the one I want, but they won't let me take it for a spin.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That I want.
Yeah.
But you know what I really want, Steve, what I really, really, really want
is a break.
Oh, from all of this politics. I mean, political fatigue, it is real. It is not made up. I mean, so many people are tired of just hearing about politics, and not just hearing about politics. I mean, we just got out of a very tumultuous midterm election where you couldn't turn on the radio, you couldn't turn on the television without seeing political ads. Guess what, folks? Get ready. They're coming back.
This weekend.
This weekend?
That's the crazy thing.
This weekend.
So I ran across this story yesterday, and there's a group called Majority Forward, which is one of these independent expenditure groups. They tend to favor Democrats, tend to go against Republicans. They've ponied up about $330,000, which isn't a ton of money,
mm-hmm.
but and they've spread it out across seven states. All of those seven states happen to be the ones where we're going to see hot Senate races in about 2 years.
Ooh. Right here?
Arizona would be
one of them. Lucky us.
Yeah. And then I confirmed that, yes, indeed, they have purchased time to do political ads.
This weekend.
Starting on Sunday.
What?
The ads themselves may be some sort of message ad. They may be talking about the shutdown, or they may be trying to make a point one way or the other. But there's no question as to why those ads are being taken out, and it's because we have a Senate race in 2020.
Yep.
The person who is likely to run on the Republican side for that has been in office for 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And has voted once on the Senate floor. And already the campaign is churning. And
it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks is long enough, right? Come on.
But in fairness, Martha McSally apparently has some campaign apparatus that's already doing opposition research, because we're hearing rumors about that sort of thing as well. The campaigns are already up and running. Campaigning for Senate is apparently a 2-year cycle, and so in the next 2 years, we are going to see a Senate campaign, even though Martha McSally has barely begun to do her job.
Well, I mean, do you think that that could backfire? There is this political fatigue. I mean, it is real. I know you and I might feel it acutely compared to those listening to us right now, because we have to know what's going on out there in order mm-hmm. to be informed, in order to inform our audience. And not everybody follows the news or follows politics like us. They tune in to us and they want to get a little taste of it, and then they go about their day. But I think that just, like, out there in general, there is this fatigue, like enough already.
I feel about this kind of like I feel about playing Christmas music in September. There is a time and place for it.
Yes.
And then there is a time to set it aside and let it go. Even if politics is your favorite thing, for Pete's sake, let the person do their job. For at least a year, let them actually do their job and establish a legislative track record that we can actually vote on before we start campaigning for re-election. But the reality is, because of everything that we see on the internet, because of cable news, because of the constant talk, and frankly, President Trump as well, because President Trump plays politics on Twitter every day.
Mm-hmm.
He is constantly bantering back and forth, and the president leads that dialogue from the top down, and it's now found its way into, I think, every locality, and as a result, we're just not going to be able to escape politics.
But I think that could really backfire and force people, or cause people to be disengaged. Like, enough already.
Yeah.
I was seeing it I mean, well before we really started to ramp up towards the midterm, it's like people want to stick their fingers in their ears, go la, 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 I'm not listening, I'm not listening.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's not just politics, like, hey, how do we make this country better and how do we work together and get things done for the people? It's the mudslinging. It is the negative campaigns, which unfortunately work. I mean, that's why they happen. But it just takes a toll. I mean, as if politics aren't negative enough, then you get the negative ads. And you get them for, starting in January. January 2019
for
a race that's going to be happening in November.
22 months away.
I mean, see, to me, it also goes to not just giving an elected official time to establish a record for which we can vote upon as to whether or not we like how they voted, whether or not we like how they represented us when we sent them to whichever office it was that they were elected to. But it's also politicians in general, too, that are constantly running. As soon as they get that, hey, yeah, they pop the champagne on November 6th, they immediately start running for 2 years, 4 years, 6 years down the road.
It's going to get worse, too, because the conventional thinking is the earlier you start, the bigger advantage that you have. So once one group starts taking out ads, there are going to be other groups that jump
dominoes.
In. So expect to see those ads even in 2019.
Hey, you know what? When you go to the doctor, you expect to be well taken care of. You expect them to have a certain level of knowledge, do no harm. Well, there's a story coming out of Steve Irvin's station, their ABC 15, with the investigators, some fake doctors in Arizona. It's been a continuing investigation, and where it has led is pretty striking. We're going to talk to an ABC investigative reporter coming up next to find out what he has uncovered over a lengthy period of time. That's next here on KTAR News.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Pamela Hughes, I've got Steve Irvin here with me, ABC 15. We are both live out at Barrett Jackson. I love Barrett Jackson, Steve, because it is the only place I'm going to ever get to see what the inside of a Bentley looks like.
That's true.
I mean, I was just inside looking around. I'm like, oh, so that's what it looks like.
This is a dude fest, too.
It is such a dude fest.
It's a place for guys who are like, man. Gotta get into it, baby.
It is fun. And so if you're stopping by Barrett Jackson, stop by, say hi to us. But we also want to talk about some stories that are really impacting our community here. We're talking about like a fake doctor, bogus nurse, phony surgeon. All of this uncovered by a colleague of yours.
ABC 15's Dave Biskoming works for our investigators unit. He's been following these stories now for years, and every time that we find a shocking one, we find one that's even more shocking, and it's just incredible what we've uncovered, and now, finally, we may have the opportunity to actually take some action and do something about this. Dave's joining us right now. Dave, tell us what you got coming up. Well, tell us a little bit about the background first, because this all started with one guy, and then it sort of ballooned from there.
Yeah, it really did. Thanks for having me on, guys. So back in January of 2017, already so almost 2 years ago, we went undercover and we exposed a guy calling himself Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig wasn't a doctor, but we had found that for a decade, he had been reported to different health boards or law enforcement agencies at least five different times and never stopped. And so we went undercover and we forced the issue, and now he's in prison for 8 years. And so after that, we decided to look at how did this happen?
Right.
And then how many people are out there like him? And I think the answer to both those questions was something that we never really expected. It's so pervasive and it's so shocking that fake doctors, fake nurses, fake psychologists,
how pervasive is this, though, Dave?
I mean, that's possible.
You say that this is shocking. I mean, is it one doctor here, one doctor there, or is there a real problem in Arizona that is not being tackled by the people who are supposed to be regulating this?
Yeah, it's far more. It's not just one here or there. We found there are 130 people that have been officially questioned, found, did unlicensed healthcare in some field, whether it's doctor or psychologist or dentistry. And that's a 5-year period. And that's what we found that was documented. And so we were asking, you know, law enforcement sources that have worked on similar cases, and they're like, listen, that's just the tip of it. There's far more out there than you even found. But just think about that, 130 fake medical professionals in a five-year period that we could find documentation on or that we exposed ourselves. And that's pretty shocking. And, yeah. And so the system, it doesn't know what to do with them. Like, you have health boards that say, oh, that's not our responsibility because we don't have jurisdiction over licensed people. And then you have law enforcement agencies that don't know what to do with these cases, and they say, call the health boards.
So
and
who's
people get ping-ponged back and forth.
There's two dozen medical boards in the state, Dave, and isn't it the job of these medical boards to police these guys and put them out of business, take away their licensing in the state if they don't have the qualifications?
I think it's going to be, and that's kind of what we're getting into for tonight, but the states, it should be a shared responsibility between the state boards and law enforcement, right? So state boards, their job is to license people, but if someone comes to them and says, hey, I got information about a fake doctor, they shouldn't be able to say, hey, you need to go call the police or call someone else. They should really be required to take that complaint, document it, vet it out, and forward that information to law enforcement. We shouldn't be putting pressure on the public trying to do the right thing and report this. We're a victim. Our state agencies should be taking that responsibility. So it really is something that they need to be forced to do, because many of them, outside of maybe the nursing board, has not taken this issue very seriously.
We're talking to ABC investigative reporter Dave Biscobang. He's talking about unlicensed healthcare workers that have been caught here in Arizona. He's been working on this story a little shy of 2 years. It's been quite in depth and at length. So tell us where we are now. What's new in this story 2 years later, Dave?
So we launched a six-part documentary series in December, and because of that, two things are happening. First, last week, Governor Ducey put out an executive order saying, hey, no more rulemaking, no more rules or policies for government or state boards, except I want the state health boards to look at how they handle unlicensed complaints, imposter complaints, and fix this, and get me a report on what you're doing about this by the end of May.
Hmm.
Well, then this week, Representative Nancy Bartow, who chairs the State Health Committee, introduced a bill that says, you know what, I want this bill to force health boards to do a bunch of different things. And the number one thing to do is they have to take responsibility for this. No longer can you claim not to have jurisdiction. It is your responsibility that if someone comes to you with information about an imposter, you have to assume responsibility for that, look into it, post that person's name out there, and then refer it to law enforcement. So they're trying to take any of the wiggle room out of this and just eliminate the holes where these people fall through.
Dave, Nancy Bartow chairs this committee. So as the chair of the committee and being a Republican with a Republican majority, is there optimism that the legislature will at least pass something to force these boards to do so? And if so, do they actually provide the resources for them to do so? Because it seems like everybody is not only talking about jurisdiction, but we're talking about hundreds of medical professionals here. That's going to take some money to try to weed them out and ultimately put them out of business if they're practicing illegally?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think she's now Representative Bartow. She was Senator Bartow before. She's been, you know, in the legislature for quite a while. And as the chair of the health committee, she's going to get this bill heard. And so I was talking to kind of some sources, you know, around the Capitol and also in some of the health boards, and they really don't see who would stick their name out in opposition of this. Because how could you? We don't want to stop fake doctors from running around and let them continue to slip through the cracks and treat people. And so when it comes to the resource issue, you know, there's like 20 health boards, right? And some of the boards, the nursing board particularly, they already do this. And they don't see it as a ton of extra work. They get these complaints. They verify it as the person that's being told is they're being told about as a fake nurse. They check their database, and then they put out a cease and desist letter, notify the attorney general's office, who has a special health care fraud
team. But you're expecting some pushback, right? I mean, at some point.
What'd you say?
You're expecting some pushback from some of these boards, and ultimately we're going to have to see whether the legislation has enough teeth to force them to take some action. Dave?
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what boards may speak out, honestly, if any. The pushback on my story, other than from the dental board, has been zero. And the dental board has pushed back is because they they allowed a dentist to falsify his anesthesia credentials in practice for years.
Dave Biscobang, ABC investigative reporter. Fascinating story. You want to learn more about this? I mean, again, tune in tonight to hear about how this story has developed, what's new, how much support that Bill has, because this is your health. These are health professionals that you think you're going to, when in all reality, they may not be. And who has the power, the authority to stop it instead of kicking the can down the road or telling somebody else it's your fault. You need to handle this. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Fascinating story and great work there. We'll be keeping an eye on that one.
Tonight at 10 on ABC 15. And also check out the documentary series. You'll find that on Roku. You'll find it on Amazon Fire and the Apple TV. We've got the app for all of those, and it's a really interesting series to watch.
Well, you bring up Apple. And do you have AirPods, the Apple AirPods?
Do you know that children ask you for them because
for
they're
Christmas?
The hottest thing in the world?
Yeah, well, what you need to know about these Apple AirPods, they can eavesdrop on you. Yeah, we'll tell you how and why. Coming up next here on KTAR News.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
All right, so here we are into mid-January. The bank account may be a little bit lighter, you know, paying off those bills. And you're like, okay, what did you buy for Christmas? Well, the kids, you know, the kids these days. Maybe they wanted those AirPods, you know, the wireless earbuds that connect to Apple devices. Well, there's a functionality of it that parents may not know about, but most of the kids do. Apple has a function that turns your iPhone into a microphone for your AirPods.
The Live Listen feature was actually added back in 2014, which allowed an iPhone or iPad to serve as a remote microphone for an MFI-compatible hearing aid. In iOS 12, Apple added Live Listen support for AirPods, essentially turning your iOS device into a directional microphone of sorts and having the audio relayed back to your AirPods.
Okay, let's just clean that up for people here, Steve. Pretty much what that means is if you want right now, you can leave your iPhone in a room, turn on the Listen Live functionality of your AirPods, leave the room, and whatever that iPhone picks up as a microphone, you're going to be able to hear in a different room through your AirPods.
Of course you can. Of course. It's just another device that can spy on you now, right? Everything spies on you. Your TV spies on you. Your refrigerator spies on you. I mean, everything
spies. Your refrigerator?
If it's a Wi-Fi enabled, internet enabled, and they have these now, refrigerators with screens, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But now we have AirPods, and so imagine the scenario here. A kid leaves their phone in the room where the parents are talking, and the parents are having to have a private conversation about the kid, and the kid's sitting in the other room listening to the parents have this conversation, and you could do this anywhere. Of course.
You say of course.
Because it just seems like every time you turn around, we're hearing another story about how your Amazon device or your TV or whatever can somehow record or listen to everything that's in the room. And so this hardly seems a surprise anymore.
Well, you know how I found out about this story? A friend of mine, her son got a pair of these AirPods for Christmas and goes to school. And this is what all the middle schoolers were talking about, that, hey, you know what? Leave your phone here. You can go in the other room. Listen to what mom and dad are saying. You can do it with friends. You can do it. Just, you know, you just leave your phone. You just left your phone. Right. And then you can eavesdrop. And obviously, you know, my friend has a good relationship with her son. And she's like, Mom, I'm uncomfortable about this. I wanted to talk to you about it because it makes me really uncomfortable. And I'm sure it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but you don't know what you don't know. And I would venture to say most parents don't know about this function with AirPods that really turns your iPhone into a microphone. And all you got to do, you turn it on, you leave it there. It can go up to 50 feet away. So you can be in another room.
Right.
And then you just turn up the volume and it will pick up more of the sound. Now, the reason why they did this, Apple didn't do this for the purpose of people being able to eavesdrop on one another, but it's all good technology is weaponized, right, for one term or another. They did this for people who are hard of hearing.
Right.
So if you're in a room and you're having a difficult time hearing somebody, you can put your iPhone down next to them, put the ear pods in, pump up the volume, and you're good to go. It was supposed to help people out, but as you can see, it could be used for nefarious reasons as well.
I have to wonder how big a deal this really is, because the fact is there are dozens of apps on that you can get where you can record something on your iPhone. You can record audio. So what's the difference? Other than listening to it live, couldn't you leave your phone in a room and turn on one of these recording apps and just get it to record and then walk out of the room, record the entire conversation and come back
and listen to it later? I mean, you're talking about storage and all of that kind of stuff. I think that, you know, this is just, again, another example of you don't know what you don't know. And if your kids have these AirPods, if you have these AirPods, it's not just the product that is spying on you. There's a lot of other things that kids are doing or you may be doing that you don't know you are being spied on. For instance, Fortnite. Hackers have been able to hack into Fortnite and listen to the conversations that people have with one another. You know, one of those video games that you talk with one another and they're listening to it. And I don't really know what you would garner from that conversation, but it kind of goes back to all... You need to have some sense of privacy.
Right.
And I feel like we're getting so far away from that. You've got some tech giants out there, Tim Cook being one of them with Apple. You know, we're talking about Apple AirPods here. But he's really trying to spearhead a movement to get Congress to do something about protecting our privacy rights when it comes to online, when it comes to digital. And it may sound weird coming from him because Apple does have a lot of information on us. But they do it in a different way than, say, Amazon, or they do it in a different way than, say, Facebook. They don't specify it to you, Steve Irvin from ABC 15. They scramble it so it's not, you're not able to identify the individual with it.
Yeah.
Did you know about this? Did you know about the Apple AirPods eavesdropping?
Does
it change anything for you? Let us know on the open mic line, 602-200-2733. That open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Coming up next, we've got the very latest on Hacienda Healthcare. Man, another day, another story coming out of that place next here on KTAR News.